You're listening to 1520 AM WCAG Westchester, heard worldwide at WCAG1520.com.
And interviewed the animal control officer and found to my surprise that this county official possessed a manila file folder that he had labeled werewolf. Now that's news when you have a county official with a file folder marked werewolf, 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 werewolf.
I have investigated since I was director of special projects at the CBS station in Denver about the worldwide animal mutilation deaths, and it was quite a paradigm shift for me then to sit and listen to sheriffs telling me that we weren't dealing with satanic cults, we weren't dealing with predators, we were dealing with something from outer space.
Get a communication, it's just like this message, like a message coming to my mind, you know, and said, we're here. They say, we, they never, they don't say, I'm here, and I've never heard that back. It's always, we're here. And then I'll pick up my camera and go out and wherever they are and start filming.
Sheep rancher up in Lincoln County found that during a severe thunderstorm, he heard a muffled explosion that was different from the rest of the thunderclaps. The next day, he went out to check his fence and his sheep. He found the wreckage.
And at age four, I noticed an entity in my room. They're about 5 foot tall. It's pure white with large round eyes. And I just cannot figure out for the life of me what it is.
Welcome to the Paranormal Cafe. We're here in the 9 o'clock hour, or actually the last hour of the broadcast tonight. We just got off the phone with a gentleman by the name of Paul Kimball talking about the best evidence top 10 UFO sightings. We're going to keep that theme going for a person I have great admiration for, and I have no shame in saying it. I'm very admirous of. And she is here with us tonight. She has been on our show many times before, and I am eternally grateful to her for coming on. But she is here with us for at least a little while tonight. Her name is Leslie Kane, author of the best-selling book, UFOs, Generals, Pilots, and Government Officials Go on the Record. It is our book of the year, which is probably an accolade that, you know, okay, it's probably as good as written on paper, but it is the book of the year here, and I want to welcome her to the airwaves, Leslie Kane. Welcome, Leslie.
Hi, Rob. It's great to be with you. Thanks for having me back on.
Hey, you're welcome back anytime. I just happened to see recently that you're going to be in the Philadelphia area.
Yeah, I was very surprised, actually, to get an invitation from Derek Pitts at the Franklin Institute Science Museum in downtown Philadelphia to come and speak this weekend during their National Astronomy Day celebrations.
Wow.
So, I'm really looking forward to it. I know it's a great museum, and I have to confess I've never been there, even though I live in New York, but that's because in New York you can go to the Natural History Museum and all, you know, we got a lot of stuff here, too, but sounds like an absolutely fabulous museum. I've been reading about it online. It's got a long history there, and I'm just really thrilled that, you know, this is a very straight science museum, and they're opened up enough to this subject matter to include me there and the topic of UFOs during their National Astronomy Day. So I think that's a really exciting development. I'm really pleased about it.
The Franklin Institute is really top-notch. It's one of those, and I can give you a little bit of local flavor on it.
That'd be great.
The all the kids get together as, you know, in like elementary school, and they do a class trip to there. Usually it's, you usually end up going once or twice. It may be more now because obviously parents have more money and they're able to afford it. But Back then, I remember going there twice with a class, but then my family would take me there. And remember spending a lot of time there just fascinated by it. And when I heard that you were at the Franklin Museum, I was like, wow, this is great, you know.
Yeah, I mean, it's really an honor to be invited. And I just can't wait. I've made sure that I've allowed enough time when I'm there to really spend some time at the museum. I can't wait to see it. So, yeah, it's just all really exciting.
Now people can come out. You're there when, this Saturday?
I'm there this Saturday. I think their events start. They have a whole day packed with events on Saturday, and then I think they open around 10. But my slot there is at 1:15 in the theater at the museum, and I'm going to be initially just giving a short presentation, maybe 15 minutes, and then what's going to be interesting is I'm going to have a dialogue with Derek Pitts, who probably people have heard of him. He's mm-hmm. the head astronomer there, and he was a regular on MSNBC with Keith Olbermann when that show was on. Mm-hmm. I think people have, I remember seeing him on that program quite a lot. So we're going to have this dialogue, and he's promised me he's reading the book. I said, I'm very happy to have a dialogue with you. I just have one request to make. You have to promise me you read the book before we have the dialogue. And he agreed. And he seems very excited about it. You know, he certainly has an open mind. And I'm excited because, you know, 5 years ago, I'm not sure that this kind of thing would have happened. So to me, it's sort of a sign of a progress. And I also think it's a reflection on, fortunately, that the type of book that I've pulled together is something that somebody like Derek Pitts can really relate to. And it opens up doors. And this is an example of that happening, so I'm very pleased.
I think your book comes across as very unfiltered. I don't think you put a personal slant on it at all, in the sense of trying to get people to believe one thing or another. You just kind of present it to them and saying, this is it, you know, take it for what you must.
Exactly, and I'm going to be very clear about that, and I discuss that with the people in the museum, you know, that I'm really just going to explain that my intention is to just sort of give the best information that I could possibly get through a 10-year process, and not to draw any conclusions about it, and I'm not claiming that, you know, we're being visited by aliens and spaceships, and so it's very much sort of presenting a very level-headed approach that I think people at a museum like this are really going to be able to appreciate, and they're going to be excited about it, because it sort of allows them to enter into the subject matter without risking that they're having to associate themselves with some kind of stretch that they're not willing to make. So, you know, it makes the whole subject accessible to people, and I'm certainly going to let them know that the extraterrestrial hypothesis is one that has been proposed by generals and others around the world as a possibility, and we need to take it seriously. But, you know, for people to know that we really haven't figured out what the UFOs are yet is just sort of, I think people breathe a sigh of relief when they hear that. The people that, you know, that have trouble dealing with the subject matter, that don't know much about it, that have trouble being associated with it in any way, they kind of feel, okay, I'm off the hook now. Maybe I can be open to this.
Right.
So that's an important point to make when you're dealing with an audience like this that's not normally, you know, exposed to this kind of information.
Now that's what I like about it, is that the approach you've taken with it, and you've brought in so many other people to contribute to the book. It's no secret. I've made no secret on the air my appreciation for the book, and I think that people will be able to appreciate it once they've read it. And to be quite honest, a lot of my audience has read it. But
well, that's great. And I want to add that for those that haven't, or for even that those that have that want to come out, I am going to be signing books there, and we have some books that are being shipped to the museum that I will be you know, people can get a copy, and I'll sign it for them if they don't have it yet.
Very cool.
Or if they just want to bring their copy along, I'd be happy to sign it, and I just hope to meet people that have been on my Facebook page, people that listen to your show. You know, I'd love for people to come out, and I think it'd be very great, actually. It's not so much for me, but for people to come so that they can give the message to the Franklin Museum that, mm-hmm. hey, we really appreciate the fact that you guys have opened up your doors to this subject matter. And I think the more people that come as a result of that, you know, and come into the theater when we're doing the UFO topic, it really sends a good message to the museum as a whole, and maybe they'll continue to, you know, keep their doors open to this subject, which would be really great. And then maybe that'll spread to other museums. You know, maybe they're just the first here. So the more people that come, the more they're going to be supported and reinforced in what they're doing, and I think that's important.
How have you been able to, and I understand my term here is respective, but is a respectable term, but how have you been able to keep the tar baby issue of UFOs from totally sinking you. And I hate to say it that way, but there's been so many authors that have tried to do what you've done and have not been successful.
Well, I think it's because, I mean, I'm a journalist by training, so I'm very, very careful about what information I present. I don't present anything that's speculative or sensationalistic. I don't mix up facts with theories and assumptions. You know, I'm just very kind of clean about the information. And, also the fact that half the book is written by others besides me, I think, is an important part, too. I mean, five generals have written pieces for this book. I've written whole chapters for the book. You know, a former governor, the former head of the Accidents and Investigations Bureau at the FAA. So people are reading not only from me, but they get to read directly the words of these people who have been very involved in the subject in various ways. Some of them actually pilots who have encountered objects, experts who have spent decades investigating them. They're all official people. So I think, you know, that's something that hasn't been done before, I think, in any UFO book. And I'm just very careful. I think I have an ability to kind of distill what's important, what's interesting to people, put it together in a way that reads well, that's not boring, but is factual. So yeah. I don't know. I mean, I think different books appeal to different kinds of people, but I definitely, when I wrote this book, Rob, my intention was to write a book that would appeal to the mainstream. Mainstream media could relate to it. Government people could relate to it. Scientists. I mean, that was my focus and intention in writing the book. And I don't know how many, you know, lots of times when people write UFO books, they're excellent books, but they're really something that isn't going to go beyond the UFO community. They're just not designed that way, and they don't have the kinds of information that people beyond the UFO community would be interested in. Like, for instance, Robert Hastings' book, which is an absolutely fascinating book about all these cases. It's called UFOs and Nukes. You know, and he's a great researcher, but it's a 600-page detailed book about all these cases with lots of information, you know, that's sort of extra to the actual essence of what he's trying to say. And that kind of book is just not good. Your average person isn't going to read it. Your UFO people are going to read it.
Right, right.
So, you know, you have to make that distinction of who your target audience is. And I was very clear who I was targeting. And because of my experience as a journalist, you know, dealing with mainstream media, I think I was, you know, I had a capability of kind of distilling the subject matter with that audience in mind. And so I'm just very happy that it seems to have worked. I mean, the media has been just very, very enthusiastic about this and very respectful of it. And it's still going on, and we're going to have the paperback is going to come out this summer, and we're going to do another publicity campaign then, which Crown Publishing, my publisher, which is part of Random House, is already getting set up to launch this new effort, the sort of a repeat of what we did last summer. I don't know if it probably won't have quite the, you know, I don't think I'm going to go on Stephen Colbert again or anything like that, but it's going to generate some more publicity. And then the History Channel documentary that I've been involved with is also coming out around the same time. So we're going to have another hit at the mainstream media again this August, which is a year.
Wow.
It'll have been a year since the hardback came out. Yeah.
I am from our communication. I am a total junkie when it comes to this type of printing, and I've given this book away as a gift to people. And you know what's funny about it is I've given them it is a gift, and they knew of the book. They had not purchased it yet.
Mm.
And I guess they think I'm so connected with everybody. They're like, oh, it's not signed. And I'm like, I guess they figure I just drive over to Leslie's house.
Oh, yeah, they think you're so connected that any book you would give on UFOs, no matter who wrote it or where they live, right, would have the signature.
Exactly.
You're like magic. You have to create magic, Rob.
Yeah, I think I'll get J. Allen Hynek's autograph while we're at it.
Exactly. I wish I had that, actually.
Exactly.
I do have Richard Hall's signature in one of my books he wrote, but anyway.
But yeah, that's what I get. They're appreciative. You can see they're appreciative, but they're disappointed that it's not autographed by you. And I said,
well, if they live in the Bay in Pennsylvania, they're nearby Philly, they can come this weekend, and I hope to meet these people.
Now, this is not an additional charge to the museum, is it?
No, I mean, I don't think there's any charge to come to this. I didn't read. I know there's no additional charge to hear the UFO thing we're going to do, but I don't think there's a charge at all.
Wow.
People have to look on the website.
Okay.
Look on the Franklin Museum website. But I can't imagine that a museum, well, I guess museums do charge admission, don't they? So,
well, I think they have to have staffing and stuff like that.
Yeah, I don't know. It's a good question. I mean, I have the website up here in front of me. Maybe I can figure that out before we
it's not often that you get to Philadelphia. I mean, we're one city out of many, obviously. We're not like a New York that has so many places like so many news outlets to where you can travel and do the junket tour, and I hate to use that term. So we're kind of like off the beaten path to a certain degree.
Well, sort of, but you're a pretty big city, too.
Exactly.
Yeah, no, it says here that certainly my lecture or my program is not any additional charge, but it says free with museum admission, so I don't know what the museum admission is.
Okay.
That's something people could look up on the website.
Okay, so people can just basically go to the Franklin Museum, which they've done probably in my area any number of times, go back, patronize them, and come see you, pick up a book. Now, you said you're going to have books on site, so people don't even have to bring them if they don't have them.
Yeah, we're going to have some. I had no idea how to anticipate how many people were going to come and how many books to get, so I gave it my best shot. But we'll have them for sure.
Now, how many languages has this been published or is going to be published in?
Well, so far there have been 6 other countries that are in the process of translating and publishing the book, the biggest one being Brazil.
Okay.
So that's all really exciting. The other countries are like Romania, Bulgaria, Turkey. What I really want to get, and we have Taiwan as well. But I really want to get a French edition and a Spanish language edition, which we don't have yet. And also, I'd like to get it in China.
Wouldn't Brazil be that?
Well, Brazil is Portuguese.
Oh,
yeah. It's funny. I mean, it's a huge country in South America. It's a huge country, but it's not the same language as the rest of the continent.
Wow.
Which a lot of people don't realize. So that edition is only going to be usable for people in Brazil, which is, again, it's a huge landmass and a lot of people. But I definitely want to get a Spanish language edition. And, it's just the publisher has agents that go around and try to make these things happen. And so far we haven't gotten any bites.
Well, Bulgaria, Turkey, that sounds like a good book tour.
Yeah, Romania and, those countries in Eastern Europe seem interested in this. Croatia is the first one to bring it out.
Really? Wow.
It's coming out in May in Croatia, I think, soon.
Wow.
And, they actually wanted me to... You come out there. I think I'm declining their invitation.
Oh,
but,
come on! You gotta give us an on the ground.
I know. I don't know. We'll see. But it's very exciting, and I'm hoping they're going to send me. I can't wait till they send me my copy of the Croatian edition.
Yeah, what's interesting is I had an interview with James Fox years ago, and as you know, obviously you connected me up with him, and somebody somewhere on the internet, God bless him, I think they translated it into Croatian.
Oh, you mean they translated his film?
No, they translated my interview, which was bizarre to me. I think you can still find it somewhere.
Interesting.
And I'd never seen it, and I never knew I could see all those words, so...
You mean they translated an oral interview, or with subtitles? They put subtitles on it?
No, it was oral interview. They actually...
transcribed it?
Transcribed it into a different language.
That's great. I think there's some activists in Croatia that are very interested in this topic.
Yes.
There's one guy in particular, I can't remember his name, who's been corresponding, and it might have been him. He's there's interest there for sure. So that's cool.
Very cool.
Very cool.
Now I gotta get a hold of. I'm gonna have to get a hold of different languages too. Now is that gonna be something I can go through like Amazon or? I don't know.
I mean, I don't know if they're even gonna be available. I'll ask the publisher there when they send me. I should be hearing from. I mean, I can email them and ask them.
Right.
How people in America can acquire copies of it.
I told you I'm a junkie with it.
Yeah.
I'd love to have different languages of it. So.
Yeah. Well, I'll definitely ask them.
And you'd have to sign in different languages, isn't that correct?
I don't know. I think, do I have to have a new different name for different countries? Exactly.
I have no...
There are some people that have come on Facebook from Croatia. There's one guy that came on my page. Somebody that was writing messages in Croatian.
Wow.
I know, it's really cool.
Very cool.
I couldn't understand it, but...
He was ordering soup, and I wasn't quite sure.
No, I think he just made it, put a few words, and then he wrote in English, but...
Very good.
I'm very happy that, you know, the book is getting out elsewhere in the world.
Right.
And, yes, and the paperback will sort of generate another level of interest, I hope.
You know me. I'm in. I'm in for the long haul. So.
Thank you, Rob.
I'll be the first guy in line to buy it. And, you know, if you, you know, I think I've checked the records, and the stalking charges have been dropped in our county, so I can start to follow you again.
Uh-oh. But I don't own your county.
Oh, that's right. Okay.
You'd have to come to New York.
Mm, there's no filed charges.
Hey, how about you coming over on Saturday?
I'm very much into that, and I think I will be there.
That would be great, because we've never... Have we ever met in person? I'm not sure we have.
No, we have not met in person yet, and... your day is coming, young lady.
Well, be sure to come over and make sure I know you, who you are. When on Saturday, that would be great.
I would love to meet you. It's going to be a great event, and you know me, I am the junkie, so I love all this kind of stuff.
Cool. That'd be great.
Hey, you know, continued success, and you're always welcome here. You know that. Anything you want to talk about.
Thank you. Well, I'd certainly like to come back on in maybe a couple months and talk about the History Channel piece that's going to be coming up, which is going to be coming up, I think, in August. So we can talk more about that later.
That's you name the date you're on. So that's
okay,
all there
great.
Is to it. I'll be in touch with you, of course, and maybe I'll see you this Saturday. I have something going on, but I'm trying to get out of it. So.
Well, whatever happens, and hopefully some of your listeners will come, and I really look, it's going to be a great day, and I look forward to it.
Oh, I'm looking forward to it myself. I'm going to play hooky from when I'm supposed to.
Okay.
Thank
well,
you.
Well, you let me know if you're there, of course.
Absolutely. I
look
will
forward
do.
To it, Rob. Thanks very much for having me on.
Anytime, Leslie. You're welcome.
Okay. Take care.
Take care now. Bye-bye. That was Leslie Kane talking to us about her book, and you know, the only thing about that book that I didn't like is that it wasn't written by me. That's the only thing that really left me high and dry. I tried to get her to send me the transcript or the manuscript before she sent it to the publisher, but they always send it to the publisher first. What is up with that, people? No, hey, you're in the Philadelphia area, visit. It's worth the price of admission just to hear this woman talk about it. If you don't have the book, there's no better thing than to go down to there. If you have a book, bring it. If you don't have a book, come down. Buy the book there. It's Leslie Kane. I mean, she's appeared on Colbert Report. She's been on CNN. You can go to her website. She's on Facebook, obviously more popular than me. I'm just some guy sitting in a studio. She's, you know, I love the book. I love the way it's written out. And we did choose her as Book of the Year. I mean, that's not actually an accolade that I'm sure she's putting on all her, on her resume. But, hey, you know, I picked a book that I really appreciated. I thought that was the book to pick. And it was up against some tough stuff, too. I mean, Richard Dolan is no slouch when it comes to this. And, you know, I appreciate quality reporting, even if I don't agree with some of it, which in her case, there's nothing I really disagree with, because she just brings you the facts. This Saturday at the Franklin Institute, go spend the day, bring the family. It's time, people. It's time. You got to support this kind of stuff, or trust me, like she said, if you don't support this kind of stuff, it may never come back. They may say, oh, there's no market for that. And you know what? They'll be right. There's no market for us, too. You know, the Paranormal Cafe has no market itself. So, very good, very good. There's a lot of cool things going on. I mean, you don't... The Franklin Institute, people. The Franklin Institute has been around for God knows how long. I remember going there as a kid. I remember going with my family. There's memories I have of that place as a kid, enduring memories. So, go head on down. Go pay your admission. You'll get in free. You'll get in free to her lecture. I am trying to clear up my schedule and make it down. I had something that was almost uncancelable, but it looks like I may have to do that anyway. I'll play hooky. But I'm really looking forward to it. I'm really looking forward. And you should look forward to it, too. So I can't recommend a book any higher, so... If you come down, tell her you heard about her on the Paranormal Cafe, and that also you, you know, want to talk to her about her book. You have a question about her book. You've read her book. You have her book. Have her sign it. She'll do it right there. I'm a guy in the studio. She's out there actually doing it. So, man, it's a good day when you can say to yourself that we're going. You can go down to there and actually say, "Hi, I'm gonna go to the Franklin Institute, and I'm gonna hear about UFOs." That like she said, this probably would not have happened 5 years ago. This probably would not have happened 5 years ago. So what's that saying about our society? What's that saying about us? I hope it says good things, because I think more information is better. And that's what she offers in her book. The book is UFOs, Generals, Pilots, and Government Officials Go on the Record by Leslie Kane. You can get the book on Amazon dirt cheap. I didn't want to say that on the air because it sounds like I'm... I didn't want to say it to her because it sounds like I'm putting it down, but I'm not. Worth every penny. What we're going to do is we're going to take a break real quick. When we come back, I'm going to be patching things up here. We got about a half hour to go on the show, and I appreciate everybody listening here. We had Paul talking to us about his documentary. Paul Kimball talking to us about Best Evidence, Top 10 UFO Sightings. This is kind of a hand-in-hand deal. Paul and Leslie together again. No, they aren't. As far as I know, they have not worked together yet. But the subject matter is right at the same alley. Love it, love it, love it. You're listening to the Paranormal Cafe.
You're listening to 1520 AM WCAG Westchester. Heard worldwide at WCAG1520.com.
Thank you very much. You're back here on the Paranormal Cafe, and I'll be talking with you over the next half hour. If you want to give us a call before the top of the hour, 610-701-WCAG, 610-701-9243. Give me a buzz. I'd be more than happy to hear from you, talk to you about whatever you want to talk about, even questions or comments on my past two guests. They're great guys, great guy and a great lady. Paul Kimball, talk about Best Evidence, Top 10 UFO Sightings. If you want to go to my Facebook page, do so. You'll see on my wall, look for Robert Simcox. You'll see the Paranormal Cafe shield there, the round shield. Click on that, be friends. More than happy to have you on board. You look down, you can see where I have the connection for Paul Kimball. And you can go and click on that just like this. That's a click. And you can actually go to that and you can actually watch his documentary. Usually, I say, you know, with people's documentary, oh, you gotta buy the documentary, you gotta rent the documentary, you gotta find the documentary, you gotta do this, gotta purchase it. His, you can look at it right online for free. And that's great. And he's gonna be putting together his next one. So if you wanna make a donation, it can be $1, it can be $5, $10, whatever. I mean, he's there to, you know, make a donation, get a perk for the next one. I you know me, I love good perks. I love good perks. My surprise guest, and I say surprise only because it was a last minute thing. I had found out that, you know, and thought to myself, should have her on. Leslie Kane, author of UFOs, Generals, Pilots, and Government Officials Go on the Record. It was our book of the year here, and still continues to sell well. It's a bestseller. It's going to be published so far in 6 countries. Looks like Brazil, Romania, Turkey, Croatia. She's scanning the globe. So she is going to be at the Philadelphia Franklin Institute, named after Ben Franklin, obviously. And I'm really looking forward to that. And it's really going to be a cool deal with her out there at the Franklin Institute talking to you. She'll do a presentation. You can come get the book, have your book signed. Welcome to the Paranormal Cafe. You're up.
Hey, Rob.
Hey, how goes it?
Hey, this is Carl. How you doing?
Carl, how are you doing, sir?
Pretty good, pretty good. I was very interested in the Leslie Kane interview.
Very cool woman.
Yeah, definitely.
She's going to be at the, locally, obviously, you know, at the Franklin Institute this weekend, this Saturday.
Yeah, I was just looking it up. May 7th, she's going to be there at 1:15 in the Musser Demonstration Theater. The website says free with museum admission.
Do you know how much the admission is? I'm just curious. I don't have it in front of me.
No, I don't. I'm sorry.
Okay. It's probably, you know, it's always something nominal, you know, because they always, you know, they have to keep the place up, obviously.
Right.
Very cool, man. She's going to be, I just found out about it fairly recently, and she got invited to come and do a presentation. She's going to be coming down from New York.
Yeah, I might go to see it. I haven't been there in a long time, and it's been years since I've been to the Franklin Institute.
Right, me too. Me too. I have not been there. I went with my family back when my parents were still around, you know, as a teenager into adulthood, but I think I fell off only because, you know, I consider it like a family event.
Yeah, exactly.
You know, but isn't that the place? Don't they have the human heart there?
Oh, yeah, the big one. You walk through it. Exactly.
I remember my mom had claustrophobia, and I convinced her to go through there. I shouldn't have done it, but she kind of, you know, kind of got a little sweaty halfway through.
Mm-hmm.
Very cool, man. Very cool. So what?
I remember this great demonstration at the Franklin Institute where they were doing a lightning demonstration, artificial man-made lightning,
yes.
And they had this log, this, you know, regular wooden log, and they had these capacitors, and they charged them to I don't know how many millions of volts, but everybody would be standing there waiting for the big bang, and the capacitors would charge up and charge up, and finally it would reach the critical point, and it would go bang. I mean, it would be so loud it would be ear-splitting, and the log would just vaporize. It would just be hit with this man-made lightning and be gone. It was amazing.
Yeah, and couldn't you smell the ozone after that? It was like,
oh yeah,
it was really there. Great stuff, man. Great stuff. I think there was another demonstration. I think I was there, and there was a bunch of kids, like they shouldn't be there or something, but bunch of kids. It was a kids' presentation, and they were taking liquid nitrogen, and they were taking things, dipping it into there, like roses. You've seen that done before.
Yeah.
And they were dipping in there and breaking it. Kids are all amazed. It looks like glass and everything like that. And they even got the kids part of it so much to where they were taking liquid nitrogen, they dump it on the floor of all places, and, you know, within a second or two, it dissipates.
Right.
And then they're like, okay, all the kids can run in there. And all these kids are running there trying to feel around for the liquid nitrogen. Of course, they're just on a cold floor, and a cold carpeted floor, and it was really cute to watch. They were all excited, all into it, and... you know, a little girl, I remember a little girl afterwards said, how come you had to break the flower? And, you know, they explained to her, they're showing how fragile things are when they become that cold, obviously. But
yeah,
it's always, that place holds a lot of good memories for me, and I just haven't been there very recently. And I, you know, maybe it's time for me to go back.
Yeah, definitely. I'm going to try to make it myself. I hope you can get out of your former commitment.
Yeah, it's one of those deals, you know. You commit like month to ahead of time. And it's only down the road. I don't have to think about it. And I saw this comp. I'm like, wow, I can go to this. And I remembered I had something else. But I think I'm going to play hockey. And the people that I'm playing hockey from are probably listening anyway. So they'll know where I'm going.
Well, that's good.
Yeah.
Oh, by the way, I wanted to mention to you. Yeah. I don't know if you got my email or not, but I did contact that guest that I was going to get us together with.
Yes, I did. As a matter of fact, I think I opened it late last night. Very cool. I would love to have one, but I think he said he can't be on for at least, like a month and a half or something like that?
Maybe about a week or two, because he told me he's dealing with tornadoes. He's down in Tornado Alley, or maybe that's not the right name for it, but they were hit with bad tornadoes. I'm listening to it on the news. There's some looting going on. The power's gone. I was talking to him. He said he has no power. I was surprised he had a telephone. But we had an amazing conversation about free energy.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, you just got to get him on, because he's just a wealth of knowledge. He did a presentation in the Franklin Institute back in 1976 that he barely remembers. I think I remember it better than he does. But it was the most amazing presentation I've ever been at in my life. I just wish that I had recorded it, but I didn't. But I have a pretty good memory of it.
Well, that sounds good. I mean, we're getting all these guests from the Franklin Institute now, right? Yesterday and today. So that's awesome, man. I would love to have him on as soon as possible. I mean, I have a lot of openings, and have not been scheduling a wealth of guests. I've been kind of scheduling weekly because, you know, getting the idea of some people, especially down south with all the tornadoes and, you know, things going on and people cleaning up in their lives. And people dislocated. They're disjointed. They're not, you know, living in their houses, and so you get a lot of mess like that. But yeah, I would definitely love to have him on, maybe in a week or two. And
yeah, definitely. I gave him your phone. I mean, I gave you his phone number, I should say. I have his phone number, too, of course. And he was very very nice. I mean, I asked him if he'd be willing to be interviewed, and he said, yeah, no problem. So,
okay.
You know, give him a call, and I'm sure he'd be happy to come on at whenever it's convenient for him, whenever he gets out of the tornado problems he has and gets his power back on again.
Well, you know, I'd like to have you involved in the interview as well, too, because obviously you know a lot about it. And I'd like to have you involved in some capacity, either by phone or in the studio, if you would like.
Oh, I'd love to come down and be like visiting home. I used to live in Westchester.
Well, there we go. You know exactly where I'm at. So.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. So you're living in Pottstown now, you said?
Yeah, a couple of miles away from PAZ. And I'm so disappointed they decided to put a softball game on instead of running you. I mean, that's ridiculous.
Yeah, I think they're actually, tonight they're running a softball game, but I think they're actually making a permanent change. And I think they're going to replace this with some other shows. I think they're going to run a rerun of this show after midnight or something like that. So that, you know, it is what it is. That's what they've chosen to do. You know, they're a young station. They're still getting their foothold. I would still like to be broadcasting, simulcasting to them live. But that does not look like it's in the cards anymore, at this point. So that's kind of what's going on with that. And, you know, we'll still broadcast here, so you can still listen on the internet anywhere, so.
Oh, yeah.
Very cool, very cool. Now, have you been listening all night?
Oh, yeah, from the very beginning.
Oh, so you you heard my little tirade then, I guess.
I did, and I thought it was great. I mean, people, they come on the air, like you said, they come on for free, they give their point of view, and to be called a liar on the air, I mean, not literally, but in those words, but in effect to be even have it implied, is just not right.
You know, and I didn't want to have that, and this is God's truth here, and no religion ensued, of course, or implied, I mean, but I wanted to have that conversation off the air. But you could hear it just gearing up, and I think you can hear it gearing up. And, like right now, if you were talking about free energy and somebody called in and said, you know, Carl's talking about free energy, I disagree with him. I don't think that's possible. And you know, we can have a conversation. I mean, they can disagree with you. You can disagree with them. They can disagree with me. But like I said, that there's that line that was crossed.
Mm-hmm.
And that bothered me because, you know, especially it's one thing to go after a guest. Okay. Then I basically have to make a stand. But when you go after a 20 plus year friend of mine, that, you know, and I think of all the times that woman came out on her dime, on her time, or, you know, many, many times, and wasn't looking for any type of even gas money. I couldn't even press gas money on her, you know, trying to give her $20 back when $20 could actually buy a tank of gas.
Mm-hmm.
That's what I think bothers me. And I don't think I got that point across to him. I think I made that point, but I don't think it was being received. And that's what I think bothered me a little bit. Maybe it wasn't being received. So, you know,
mm-hmm.
I tolerate a lot of things, Paul. I think I've made that clear. But I can't tolerate you attacking my guests. I just can't. Guests or callers or listeners, you know, there's a line.
Yeah, I would have to agree.
Yeah.
You're one of the most fair people I know. I mean, you're very fair with everybody.
I give people a lot of leeway, a lot. And I gave them, you know, and if, you know, if we listen to that call that was last week, I gave them a lot of leeway. And I wasn't even going to say anything after that one. But when I got home and got the email saying that, this, you know, basically, you know, reiterating a point and then saying this person was being deceitful, I have to make a stand at that point. And I was going to say something off the air, and didn't. You know, I was going to deal with it off the air, but, you know, apparently sometimes you have to deal with it. And I thought maybe it's better that I did deal with it on the air.
Yeah, it is good. I mean, everybody knows about it. You're being honest. Everybody knows you're being honest.
Yeah, and maybe next week I won't be here. It might be a point where, you know, Bill says, hey, that's not the kind of radio we want to have. It could be. I mean, I don't know. He'll get the recording of it. I'll more than happy to give him the tape of it. But sometimes you just got to take a stand.
Yeah, I mean, you've got one supporter here. I don't think you did anything wrong. I think everything you did was right on the money.
I wanted to be professional, too. I wanted to be professional, but I'm a passionate guy, as you've probably gathered by the show.
Yeah.
Very cool. So.
Oh, and by the way, I want to thank you for saying that you'd like me to be in on this interview, because I would love to be in on it, because I have questions I'd love to ask him. I've had these questions for decades that I've wanted to ask him.
Well, I have, and this comes from my heart, I have a lot of respect for you. You know that. We've communicated via email and, not always replied just simply because of volume of some of the emails I get. I'm on a lot of junk mail, too, junk mail lists. But I think you know the subject better than I do, obviously, and I'd love to have you involved. You put me onto this person, and I would love to have you involved, either in studio or by phone. Of course, I'd love to have you in studio. You know that. But if it can't happen that way for you, by phone's fine, too, if you'd like to. However you want to do it, convenience is up to you.
Oh, thank you very much. I appreciate it.
Not a problem, sir. Not a problem. So.
Before I let you go, just to let everybody know, just to remind them, next MUFON meeting is going to be May 10th, and it's going to be at the Tredyffrin Public Library, 582 Upper Gulf Road, Stratford, PA. And Bill Weber is going to be there, UFOs and Technology.
Bill Weber.
So, yeah.
Very good guy. I am familiar with his work. I've not met him personally. Very good guy. And do me a favor, give my best to Jennifer. I have not been in communication with her lately, just because we've been doing other things,
Mm-hmm.
But she's a trooper. She's a trooper, so. Very cool. Yeah, anytime you guys have meetings, and that goes for any MUFON meeting, too. If anybody across the United States or in Canada want to call up and talk about their meeting, I'd be more than happy to put that on and go out on the podcast, which this podcast will probably go out tonight because of the time-sensitive nature of Leslie. And your meeting, I'd love to have that out soon. So, very cool.
Okay, well, thank you very much.
Anytime, Carl. You know that. You're welcome here anytime.
I'll talk to you soon.
Thank you, sir.
Bye-bye.
Bye. Very cool talking to Carl. He's a good guy. And he's a fan. Not of my show. He's a fan of the people that come on to the show. He's a fan of alternative discussions. That's what this whole show is about, and that's what I tried to explain earlier in the first hour. If you didn't catch it, I don't know. I don't know if we'll put it up on podcast. But the show is about bringing ideas to the table, and I don't subscribe to every idea that comes across the table. That's not my job. It doesn't matter what Rob Simcox thinks. It really doesn't. I mean, I'll talk about it, but I'm talking about it as a person. I'm not talking about it as the authority. I am not an authority in everything. And that's what I think I was trying to get across earlier, that I bring things to the table, and I bring people to you. And Paul Kimball. There's no check for Paul. I'd love to be able to pay people. There's no check for Paul, okay? He knows that. There's no check for me from Paul, okay? There's no check to Leslie Kane. There's no check coming from Leslie Kane. Nobody's making any money here. It's just the idea of bringing ideas together. If you think what Leslie's talking about is bunk to you, okay. You have the right to think that. And you have the right to accept what you want from her and disregard what you want from her. And she'd be the first one to say that. But there's a line. There's a strong line. With me. And you can call it a weakness with me. But I can't throw people under the bus that have come on my airwaves. And I say my airwaves because I'm responsible for them. They're actually, society's airwaves. But I can't throw people under the bus who all they're doing is coming on and expressing their point of view. And I had to make that point, and I didn't want to sugarcoat it. I wanted to be honest, and I wanted to be straightforward. That's the way it is. Now, if you disagree with me, you're more than welcome to start up a radio show your own. And I'm the first guy to say, if you want to record a rebuttal, and you don't want to be interrupted, you want to record like a 3-minute rebuttal to something, or you want to record something, you want to have me play on air, I'll do that. Doesn't have to agree with me at all. I will do that. has to follow FCC regulations, of course, but there will be no abuse. You want to abuse somebody? Abuse Rob. Rob Simcox. I'm the guy. Target me. You want to target my guests? No. You want to disagree with them? Fine. No problem with disagreeing. Problem with abusing. That's where the line's drawn. Fair or not, that's where the line's drawn. And as a caller, I will support you in that same way. I will not let somebody call up and just abuse you. People can disagree with you, but I won't let the abuse happen. So I don't like to, you know, I'm not a Alex Jones kind of guy and screaming the microphone all day long. And, you know, I like Alex, don't get me wrong. I'm not that type of broadcaster. And I'm not the type of broadcaster like Rushbo Limbaugh, who will just talk about things and just talk about whatever, you know, just bash people relentlessly. I'm not that type of broadcaster. I'm the type of guy that brings something to the table and says, here's what somebody thinks, and I'll bring that person to you, or here's what I think. The subject was last week, well, it wasn't even the subject, it was a side subject that was talked about in passing, was aura photography. I don't know if I subscribe to it, okay? But I do know there's some things going on. You know what I'm talking about with that, like, touch photography. I'm talking about the, if you go on the internet, Krylon or whatever that's called, where you touch and they put leaves on, like, the sensors and they cut the leaf and the part of the leaf's still there. According to this, that's like an aura residue, whatever. I don't know that I subscribe to it. And that's not the point. The point is not whether you subscribe to aura photography or not. The point is that I cannot have anybody being abused on my airwaves. There's no point. This is not Morton Downey Jr. I'm not having a thing where you are the father. I'm not pulling that kind of stuff. My thing is, it's the Paranormal Cafe. There's going to be subjects being talked about everywhere. And you can subscribe to those thoughts. You don't have to take anything away from it if you don't want to. Take what you want, leave what you must. Always said that. But the best conversations I've had are with people like Carl, who call up here, and I'm using Carl as an example, but I'll just be anywhere. I could be somewhere at a party, or I could just be at somebody's house and be doing an investigation or helping somebody with some, you know, occurrences in their house, or I could be somewhere just at the supermarket and somebody sees me that I know or knows me, and we start having a conversation. And they could say, you know, I'm using it as a hypothetical. Tomatoes are actually a god. Really? Tell me more. What's the harm in that? What's the harm in hearing more about something? So I don't subscribe to tomatoes being gods. What's that hurt? I respected that person, didn't I? I didn't blast him out of the aisle. They can call him a liar. I didn't attack their personal credibility. I didn't have to demean that person to make my point. I didn't have to lower myself to take them down. That is ego-driven. And when you do that, you're driving your ego. And I every day I try to be a very egoless person. And if you listen to this show for any length of time, I think you gather that from me. I don't want to be the guy who knows everything. I'm not the guy that knows everything. This is not the Rob Simcox show for that reason. This isn't the world as filtered through Rob. There's going to be stuff on the show that have a Rob slant on them. I can't separate myself from it. But like with Carl, he just connected me up with a guest that I'm going to have on the show. This is not a chump guest. This is a number one guest, top of the line guest. And with Carl, I want to have him involved. He knows about this subject. He knew lose. This is something that has been with him, you heard him say it, since the 70s. How profound of a presentation was it in the 70s for Carl to remember it today? And what's he want to do? He's trying to share that with you. He's trying to say, hey, I found this very interesting and profound. I want you to have it too. Maybe you'll come to the same conclusion. Or maybe you'll take it further. Or maybe you won't. But that's what it's about. The bringing of ideas. I've always looked at things differently than I don't even want to say skeptic, but a cynic. I don't like to look at the limitations. I like to look at the possibilities. That describes Rob Simcox more than anything else, and that describes this show. So that's what I bring. That's it. I don't have to put glitz all over it. I don't have to polish everything up to where it sounds perfect. I could come, I don't even have to leave my house to put together a radio show. I could just talk into a microphone for 2 hours or 3 hours or 4 hours and cut it down to 2 hours. Take out all the oohs and uhs and clicks and blop and, oh, I dropped that call and, oh, I did this. Oh, I hit the wrong button there. Oh, I did this. I could do all that and turn it into something it's not. A 2-hour monologue. I don't want that. I never wanted that. So, yes, I do appreciate your phone calls. And 999 people out of 1,000, you don't have to have that conversation with. But 1 in 1,000 you do. And it seemed like it happened all 1 week because I had people posting some, you know, obscenities to my Facebook wall. And you'll see, if you go to my Facebook page, you'll see where I objected to it. And you know, if you're going to post that kind of stuff to my wall, do me a favor, defriend me. But I hate saying that to everybody because it's 999 out of 1,000. You don't have to say that to, but the one you do. I have kids that read my wall. Very cool kids. They read my wall. They hear. They go to the articles. They investigate stuff on their own. That's all I want. They don't need to read that garbage. And quite frankly, I don't need to read that garbage. You want to be controversial? That's fine. You want to disagree with something? That's fine. You want to offer a different point of view? That's fine. Do it. Don't be abusive. Pretty straightforward. I don't know how else to say that. If there's another way to say it, I'd like to hear it. But I can't, at this point, say, oh, well, you know, what a shame, you know, he called up and was abusive to my guests. Oh, shame, shame, shame. No, I just am not going to have it. So, and, I'm just not like any other guest. I'm not like any other host. I'm just not going to put up with that. I don't know if other hosts want to put up with that, that's their business. But I'm not going to put up with it. And that's just where I stand with it. I'm not going to have anybody come on and just abuse and then just do whatever they feel like doing. So, I want to thank everybody for listening tonight. Thank everybody for calling. Thank you to my guest, Paul Kimball. Best evidence, top 10 UFO sightings. You can go to my Facebook page, Robert Simcox. Look up the Paranormal Cafe Shield. Friend me. You'll see the link there. I want to thank Leslie Kane for calling in, who's going to be at the Franklin Institute this Saturday. Free with admission. That's worth the price of admission just hearing her lecture, hearing her talk. I want to thank you guys for coming on tonight. Thank Carl for calling. And yes, thank Hank for calling. Thank everybody for calling. I'll talk to you all next week. Thanks, Mom.